football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardon.
The Boilermakers are coming off one of their biggest wins in program history, now needing to focus on Wisconsin, an opponent it's not beaten in nearly 20 years. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhard here, Brian Newbert and Alan Karpik as well for the Golden Black Radio pregame show. Well, the Boilermakers have to find a way to deal with a little bit of success after their win against then number two Iowa. And now, Tom, Purdue, a ranked underdog at home to Wisconsin. Explain that one to me.
Yeah, you're not going to find that too often, Kyle. To be a ranked team at home playing an unranked team that's only 500 and you're the underdog. So, unique circumstances. Purdue still has a lot to prove, obviously, in the eyes of the Vegas odds makers. The AP pollsters were pleased and satisfied with that 24-7 win at Iowa last week over the number two team in the country. But still something to prove against a Wisconsin team that we all know, Kyle, has been a tormentor of Purdue for, it's been 18 years, 2003, since the last time the Boilermakers beat him. And Kyle, even longer, 1997. I think you were a student in 1997. Last time the Boilermakers won over the Badgers in Ross-Ade Stadium. Joe Tiller's first year. Billy Dickens, your starting quarterback, and a kid named Drew Brees is your backup.
Yeah, I was a freshman, 1997. Getting excited there with the new regime and Joe Tiller. Didn't know that we would still be talking about not being able to beat Wisconsin for, you know, more than 20 years at home since that game. But it's traditionally, Tom, been a bad matchup for Purdue, to say the least. I mean, a big physical Badger team offensively and defensively over that time period. But this Wisconsin team may be a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively it's probably every bit as good as it has been for most of the last 20 years, Kyle. Number three in the country, I believe, in scoring defense and in rushing defense, right there among the national leaders in both those categories. So defensively, I think they still have some chops. It's that offensive side of the ball that's really been a conundrum for Wisconsin this year. A lot of turnovers. They're last in America in turnover margin. Of course, last week, Purdue plays a team that's number one in America in turnover margin. So this week, it's totally opposite. So again, turning the ball over, Graham Mertz has 7 interceptions. They don't have that star running back, Kyle. They got a couple guys they like to use, but no clear alpha like a Jonathan Taylor. So yeah, that's really been the problem for the Badgers early on. And don't forget about this, too. Yes, they're 3-3, but they're 3 losses, Kyle. Pretty quality losses, buddy. I mean, Penn State, Michigan, and Notre Dame. So don't be fooled by that record.
Purdue's going to have to find a way to, deal with a little bit of success. It's easier to go on the road where the expectation level is not very high, taking on the second best team, at least in terms of ranking in the country, in Iowa. And then being able to come back home where the expectation level is different. I mean, I think there was no pressure on Purdue last week. And in some ways, there's a lot of pressure on Purdue this weekend. So how does Purdue deal with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, they are an underdog, but I'm with you, Kyle. I think the pressure is on the Boilermakers to win this game. to build on the momentum that they built last week in Iowa City. Everybody talked to Kyle the last time the Boilermakers knocked off the number two team in America, 2018, at home against Ohio State. What an electric night, right? And then Purdue turns around the next week, goes to East Lansing, Michigan, and gets beat by a Spartan team that was quarterbacked by Rocky Lombardi, a backup. So they didn't really capitalize on it that year. And they want to see if they can continue to build, like I said, on that mojo from last Saturday. Who knows? I'll tell you what. I think we can count on the defense for sure. Showing up, it has every week. There's veterans on that side of the ball. The key is going to be offense once again. That's going to be the storyline every week for Purdue, I think. The defense is going to keep you in the game. Can the offense score enough points? And Kyle, boy, we saw that offense do something awfully unique last week in Iowa City.
Oh, yeah, the three-quarterback system, which I've never seen before, like on purpose. Yeah. Are we going to see it again?
I think so. You know, no, nobody's come right out and said it, Jeff Brohm nor Brian Brohm, this week. But I suspect we will, at the very least, too, right? I think it worked well to give Purdue some semblance of a ground game. If they got a combined 30 yards rushing from Jack Plummer and Austin Burton of their Purdue's 86 yards rushing. And we all know Purdue struggles to run the football conventionally. And so I think we'll see some form of alternate quarterback. Maybe not three, maybe we will. I'm not sure. But I tell you what, my friend, it's going to be fun to watch this thing evolve because, you know, Jeff Brohm's cooking up some things to work off this alternate quarterback system that could really throw wrenches at some defenses moving forward here.
Well, the next step, Tom, you got to put Jack Plummer and Austin Burton on the field at the same time.
I was thinking about that. A backward pass to Austin Burton, who split out wide, who throws to Milton right deep. Something yeah. like that. I mean, you know Brohm's going to have some stuff cooked up. And you know what, Kyle, gives opponents something else to worry about and have to prepare for, right? And this offense needs some more balance and some creativity. Again, that really helped the team last week. Continue to get better in the red zone. I mean, this whole alternate quarterback scheme to me and everybody is really going to help you in those tight quarters there in the red zone in particular when yards are tough to get. Maybe you can run some option football, you know, just run the quarterback draw, whatever. So, again, I think there's something to build off here and could be a real positive move. A move for the offense moving forward here.
It was only a few weeks ago, Tom, that you felt like Purdue had more guys on the injured list than not. But Purdue's getting healthier, and it's not a bad thing to come off of a big victory against a physical team like the Hawkeyes and feel like you're in, you know, at least decent shape compared to what you were maybe just a couple of weeks ago. But Purdue's okay from an injury point of view.
Yeah, we got Payne Durham back last week. The offense did. Garrett Miller is probably the one guy on offense that got dinged late last week. I know they're going to look at him a little closer here. We'll hopefully have more information on him shortly. Of course, Horvath remains out. Defensively, Corey Try is out for the year. But by and large, that defense should be whole and intact from what you saw last week in Iowa City when that defense runs on the field, sadly, to play the Badgers. So, yeah, very good sign the team is relatively healthy and good shape as we begin the second half of the season.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll get a weather update, much more. We'll bring in Tom back here in a few minutes, talk a little bit of matchups, get our predictions on this one as well. Much more to go on the podcast. You're listening to the Golden Black Radio pregame show.
Happy Friday from News 18. I'm Storm Team 18 meteorologist Lisa Montgomery. The Boilermakers have hometown advantage as they take on Wisconsin Saturday afternoon. The weather will be perfect fall weather with mostly sunny skies and light winds. Temperatures in the morning will be chilly in the low 40s. By noon, with the sunshine, we'll warm up to 53 degrees. Kickoff temp near 60 degrees at 3 o'clock. For the drive home, temperatures will fall back to around 50 degrees with a few clouds around. A jacket or sweatshirt may be a good idea for the game, and have a great time. Boiler up and hammer down. From the Storm Team 18 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Lisa Montgomery.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365.
JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
By Jacob Kokorowski of Badger Blitz, part of the Rivals Network. Jake's one of the best. He's all over the Badger beat. Of course, Wisconsin's coming to West Lafayette this Saturday. Play the Boilermakers. Big ball game. Jake, thanks for joining us. Hey, let's start right away with that Badger offense. What's going on there? How come they're not clicking this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's just it's the word I think is inconsistent, and it really goes down to in four of the six games they've run the ball well, or at least decently well, enough to give them a chance to win. And the other two games they didn't. That was against Michigan and Notre Dame, where I thought they would run over Notre Dame with just how the Fighting Irish played against the Florida State team that lost to Jacksonville State.
Yeah,
that did not happen. But then, you know, the passing game has shown glimpses of the flashes of grandeur with Graham Mertz and throwing the ball. But whether it's sometimes pass protection, which I think it's gotten better, or just, you know, errant throws here and there, and not hitting, having receivers open, but either not making a read or overthrowing or underthrowing, you know, the passing game hasn't clicked like we thought it would with returning wide receivers like Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor and Chimere Dike. So it's kind of been, you know, I think with Wisconsin, they've had the opportunity to, I think, find themselves more in the past 2 weeks where they're running the ball better. They ran for 391 against Illinois, and then Army gave up, was giving up just about 54 a game before Saturday's contest, and they ran for nearly 200. So I think Wisconsin's, everyone's talking about what the offensive identity is. I think it's still running the ball because you have Chez Malusi, and then you also have Braylon Allen as a true freshman. Right, and for that matter, the tailback room is very much less in numbers because of Jalen Berger being dismissed a couple of weeks ago and Isaac Rendo now being out for the season because of a left leg injury and surgery, according to the UW official. So that's something to watch, but I think they have a good 1-2 combo in the backfield, and now it's just, can they continue that? And going down to West Lafayette and going and doing that to the Boilermakers, where, and obviously we know the success Wisconsin's had in recent memory against that program. So, but really the offense has been, in my eyes, there's just inconsistencies, and they haven't had their bread and butter hasn't been as consistent, but you're starting to see it turn around. Now it's just, can the passing game do something, whether it's holding back sacks or pressures, making Graham Mertz comfortable, and when he is comfortable, can he make those throws?
Now, defensively, the team like that's been the strength. Sort of talk a little bit about that defense.
Right, yeah. I mean, they came in. I know they gave up almost 180 yards rushing to Army, and a lot of those came, I think it was like 137, 131, came in the second half, and they held Army to 48 total yards. And all that was rushing in the first half on Saturday. But it all starts with the front seven. Their MO is to stop the run. It's pretty easy that way. The front seven is built to do that. They have a base 3-4 scheme, but they'll go 2-4-5 and nickel for three wide receiver sets or just wherever they feel they need those extra defensive backs. But, they really just they thrive on the run. Matt Henningsen and Keanu Benton, two of, I'd say the conference's better defensive linemen. They can also, they've been able to penetrate more with their assignments. And, you know, Matt Henningsen's, you know, racked up, you know, quite a few, you know, a few tackles for loss. And Keanu Benton, I think both can play in the NFL for that matter. But then you, you know, look at the outside linebackers, Nick Herbig, only a sophomore, but I believe 5.5 tackles for loss on the season coming into the game, second on the team, has leads the team in sacks with 3.5. And that really doesn't tell the full story. I know people say it's only 3.5, but against Illinois, he nearly had 2 strip sacks that were called incomplete passes. So there's that. And he just has a good motor on him. Noah Burks is a good run stopper, but also, you know, he's been able to flash some pressures as a six-year player. And then with that front seven, really, Jack Sanborn and Leo Chanel, two of the conference's best as a duo. They combined for 29 tackles Saturday against Army, and Chanel had that huge strip sack that essentially became a game-deciding touchdown for when Wisconsin recovered at the Army 1. They both play really well with each other, and you see, you know, Chanel's a physical freak, with people, I don't know if people have noticed, but a couple years, maybe last year, it was 2020 in the summer, he bench-pressed 315 pounds 18 times. But he's also just, you know, he's explosive, and he can make plays that way. And Sanborn, you know, I think both are NFL caliber players, and another long line of inside linebackers that they get to play on Sundays from the program. And I think the secondary is looking good for the most part, but they play solid. They play to their keys. They play to their rules. But when it comes to Colin Wilder and you know, Scott Nelson, it's a senior-laden secondary with the starters, but they have been prone to some deep passes and giving up big plays. You saw it against Penn State. You saw it a little bit against Notre Dame, even though they held, I thought they held the fighting average pretty well in that regard. But Michigan as well. Michigan had some deep passes. And even against Army, they only threw 6 passes, if I'm not mistaken. But 2 of them went for 35-plus yards. And so,
how do you see this Purdue game turning out, Jake?
I'm still processing what happened against Army in that sense, where you're just also, in my eyes, you're trying to figure out just what could happen. I mean, David Bell's going to be an awfully tough challenge. I haven't even got a chance to look at his stats yet. I'm excited to, actually, because I think it's going to be a fun game. David, you know, and you also have Karloftis, which, Wisconsin, you know, they faced Andre Carter II for Army, who one of the nation's best in sacks last year, and he had some. He played very well against Wisconsin early on until Wisconsin started containing them. So I think right now, and for that matter, Purdue gave Wisconsin trouble in 2019, right? Where with some gadget plays and bending and forcing rules to maybe be bent and not followed. So I think Wisconsin could come away with a win. Yeah, I think they're still on that path, but my gut's also a little weary about it because, one, it's about time for Purdue to break through with a win. You saw what they did against Iowa, this past weekend. But right now, I think Wisconsin's ground game is starting to get going a little bit more. And having Malusi and Allen, you know, Allen over 100 yards for the second straight game yesterday. So in my eyes, I think they have a shot. But, I mean, if they can't contain David Bell and if Karloftis gets in the backfield often, Graham Mertz is going to be uncomfortable. He's been prone to tons of turnovers. So if they can keep the turnovers low, and if they can contain Bell and Karloftis, I think they can come away with a win. If not, it can be a long day in West Lafayette.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, Jake. Yeah, Wisconsin's won 14 in a row against Purdue. Purdue hasn't beaten Wisconsin in Ross-Ed Stadium since 1997. I think the Badgers are about a 2.5-point favorite. So it should be interesting, Jake. We really appreciate you joining us, buddy. Take care. Look forward to seeing you, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tom. Always great talking with you, buddy.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chop salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring in Brian Newbert to get his perspective on the Boilermakers and the Badgers. Brian, Purdue won a game last week. It was a big one, maybe one of the biggest in program history against number 2 Iowa in Iowa City. But man, it feels like, yeah, while that's great to win that game, it means a heck of a lot more if Purdue is able to come out on Saturday and then maybe going forward and play consistent football and win some more games to turn that victory into sort of a turning point that gets Purdue headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what happens, nobody's taking that win Saturday away from Purdue. That's still the number 2 team in the country. That's still at their place. I think what that game, though, sort of underscored about the Big Ten West is that everybody's kind of the same. I mean, I don't know. Iowa was the best team in the Big Ten West prior to this weekend. I think, you know, I don't know if that necessarily changes because they lost to Purdue, and they lost to Purdue pretty decidedly. That's a game that very easily could have been like 35-10 or something like that. But this is just a really, really balanced division. And I don't necessarily think that's a compliment, because I don't know if there's a great team in the division, but it speaks to the upward mobility of people like Purdue, because I genuinely think anybody can be beaten on any particular day, to rehash that terrible, terrible cliche. I do think that, you know, this is a big game for Purdue against Wisconsin. For reasons that go beyond the Iowa game. I think one of these years Purdue has to beat Wisconsin. It's been a lifetime, essentially. But I don't think anything that happens this weekend will take away that win from Iowa, or that win at Iowa from Purdue, by any stretch of the imagination. You would like, obviously, in the best case scenario, for it to validate the fact that Purdue took a pretty big step forward during that bye week. And also take away a little bit of the anomaly quotient that could come with that Iowa game, in which Iowa turned the ball over a bunch of times. Purdue had the element of surprise on its side after the bye week. They did a lot of things I'm sure Iowa wasn't ready for. The matchup issue with Iowa that has always been pretty pronounced under Jeff Brohm, and a special, special day from David Bell, obviously. Those are all things that aren't going to get replicated every single week. So you do want to back up the Iowa game by showing everybody, hey, we are a good football team. We can beat anybody in this division. And we did take a pretty big step forward during that bye week. But even if, you know, Purdue loses to Wisconsin again this weekend, I don't think there's anything that's going to take away that Iowa win from Purdue. That was a pretty big deal for Purdue. That was a pretty memorable day for Purdue. But obviously, in the best case scenario, that was the game that kind of got the ball rolling for Purdue here, and we'll get them to that sort of 6-7 win season that, you know, is very much on the table right now. You know, it would also make you regret that Minnesota game a little bit more even. But I don't think that matters anymore because that happened too. There's no going back on that one either. Just like there's nothing that's going to strike that Iowa win from the record. But you would obviously love to get with that Wisconsin game this weekend for reasons that go beyond even validating, you know, the Iowa game.
Yeah. Yeah, you look back to 2018, nobody can take away the Tyler Trent game. And, you know, that was back circulating on social media a little bit this week. The Tom Rinaldi video story is still hard to watch even 3 years later. But Purdue didn't capitalize from a win-loss perspective afterward. I mean, it got beaten by Rocky Lombardi the next week and then, you know, finished ultimately under 500 that year when it got smoked by a game we'd like to all forget in Auburn at the end of the year. But, you know, this one feels maybe a little bit different and that maybe there is something here, in particular with the Big Ten West being what it is, to build off it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not a psychoanalyst or anything like that, thankfully. So I don't know necessarily if the visceral nature of that Ohio State win had anything to do with Purdue going out and losing to Michigan State the next week or getting blasted at Minnesota a few weeks later, anything like that. But, you know, I think handling success is probably going to be a pretty big point of emphasis for Purdue this weekend, insofar as you can control that sort of thing through words. I think that, you know, Purdue, again, to use some more trite sports cliches here, Purdue has to sort of wipe the slate clean, but do so understanding that, hey, we were good enough to just handle the hell out of the number two team in the country. As I said before, that was a 24-7 game in which Purdue dropped a pick six. I think they, depending on your definition of drop, I think they might have dropped a second interception. They lost a touchdown to the worst rule in sports. they missed a chip shot field goal. The combination of those four sequences there, that was 17 more points.
Yeah.
Potentially. And that's not an Iowa team that typically gives up 30-something points to anybody. That's not an Iowa team that screws up a lot. By nature, that's what their whole program is built around. So that defense really did something special in that game to not only hold them to 7 points, but turn them into an absolute error-prone train wreck of an offense. So I think that Purdue has to understand, hey, we were good enough to do all that, but also we're not so good that this is going to just happen for us by rolling the ball out there. All they have to do is look back at the last like 20 years of results against Wisconsin to understand how sideways this can go real quick if they're not careful. This is the most beatable Wisconsin team they will have faced, you know, in most of these players' lifetimes. If not all of these players. I don't know who the oldest player on the team is. I assume it's Jack Ansell. I don't know if he was watching Purdue-Wisconsin games when he was 3 years old in Australia, but he might have seen a Purdue win if he were watching Purdue-Wisconsin football in Australia back when he was a toddler. But that should be all of the refocusing energy they need, is that, you know, Wisconsin has been their daddy the same way that, you know, Purdue has had a little bit of Iowa's number, so to speak, because of matchups largely. Purdue is a very difficult matchup for Iowa because Iowa forces you to throw the ball to the outside boundary up the field. And I think Purdue probably practices that more than any team in college football, whereas Wisconsin, you know, has just dominated the line of scrimmage against Purdue for as long as I can remember. So
yeah.
This is going to be basically a flipped script this coming weekend. And Purdue has to understand that it was good enough to beat a really good team on the road, but it's not so good that it can take anything for granted here this weekend against Wisconsin. I think that all goes without saying, but we have to fill time on the show. So I just said it all in a very, very drawn out, time-consuming manner.
There you go. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to the Golden Black Radio pregame podcast.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365.
JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Kerpick for the Big Ten Roundup and take a look at some of the other games going on around the Big Ten. Again, a sort of thin schedule in the conference, just four other games outside of the Purdue game. So let's take a look at each one of those. A noon kickoff in Ann Arbor on Saturday as number six, Michigan's ranked sixth. Number six, Michigan welcomes in Northwestern, the first of a bunch of games that aren't very good in the Big Ten on Saturday, unfortunately. Michigan is favored by nearly 24 points. And it seems like another one here, the Michigan's going to get a chance to stay undefeated. And there are some teams here in the Big Ten, Alan, that are just like on the same tracks headed toward a collision here in the second half of the year.
Yeah, that is definitely the way it is. I mean, you look at these, look at Michigan State, you look at Michigan, to some extent Ohio State, Penn State, they all are going to converge on one another here in the last little bit. And that is the last bit being November. But yeah, it's a very predictable week. And I think you look at this and say Michigan should win easily. But Northwestern got my attention last week by beating Rutgers and its ability. Purdue cannot look back past that game on November 20th. I know that's way down the road.
Yeah. Another noon kick, Illinois travels to number seven, Penn State. The Nittany Lions favored by 24. Brett Bielema this week said the quiet part out loud about basically that he's going to nuke all his players in the offseason. Coaches, you know, do that. Sometimes they manage to do it without getting themselves in very much trouble. Sometimes they don't. And then in Bielema's case, he just came out and said what he was going to do, which is probably going to cause him some issues in the offseason. As for the game, Penn State should roll, I would imagine, even if it's got some injuries.
Yeah, I think Brett Bielema did. It was the elephant in the room, and he squashed the elephant, if that's possible. Yeah. If that's possible, the Bielema's big enough to squash an elephant sometimes. But I'm not fat shaming here, I swear. But I do think that this is a game that, again, that Penn State should win easily, and Illinois is trending in the wrong direction. They're going to find themselves quite firmly in the seventh place in the, I think, at the end of the day, in that Big Ten West.
3:30 kickoff in Minneapolis, Minnesota, hosting Maryland. These are two teams that are playing on Saturday. The Gophers favored by five. Exciting.
But again, Minnesota is going to dole itself into an opportunity to be in the hunt in the West Division. I mean, they weren't impressive against Purdue. They won. They beat Nebraska. It was impressive. They beat Nebraska. But you look at that. You got to watch out for them because they just might limp their way to the Big Ten West Championship the way things are going. I don't think so, but you never know.
7:30 kickoff. This was supposed to be a big game, at least those down in Bloomington thought so before the season started. It will not turn out to be that way, I would not suspect. Number five, Ohio State traveling to Bloomington to take on the Hoosiers, who at 2-4 are in need of a victory. I don't know that they're going to get one here. The Buckeyes are favored by 21.
Yeah, Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten, and in a situation where I think that this is a no-brainer, and Indiana's still dinged up. They're just not good enough to compete, and I think the Hoosiers have kind of fallen back into their place of where they are in the Big Ten East, and that's not a good spot and a good look for Tom Allen, though. I like the progress that program has made, But now it's going to have to find its way to scratch and claw past Rutgers and Maryland. And that isn't going to be easy for Indiana. And I think Ohio State will roll. I think Ohio State's the best team. I think Ohio State still has an excellent chance to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. That's a Big Ten roundup for this week.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical view of Purdue and Wisconsin. The most immediate history is that Wisconsin wins all these football games. The Badgers have since 2003. Purdue hasn't won at home since 1997. And I what's that, 14 losses in a row? I did the math on that earlier this week. I think it's by an average of 21. The margin of loss is like 21 points, I think, the average margin of loss. It's not – I mean, aside from – maybe a couple of games, including the triple overtime game a couple of years ago. These games really haven't been all that close.
Yeah, in 2004, the famous Orton thing. I know no one wants to hear that. That game was close but disappointing. You know, look at night. It started that streak, at least in Ross Aid. I mean, you look at the 2006 game, 12-0, and Purdue could still be playing in that game and not scoring. So, yeah, it just hasn't been competitive. It was competitive in 2018, and Purdue had a chance to win that game and just didn't. It will be closer tomorrow, and I think that's just stating the obvious, but it's just not been a you know, it's Purdue's longest losing streak against an opponent going all the way back to the Chicago Maroons, and Amos Alonzo's Stag is the only program that's beat Purdue more consecutive times than the Barry Alvarez, Brett Bielema, Paul Chryst regime here at Wisconsin.
You left out Gary Anderson.
I know it. I had a brain fade, but you're right. Gary Anderson, too. So, absolutely.
Anderson with an E.
With an E. I never learned how to spell that one.
Yeah. You know, some bad news for Purdue this week in the passing of another legend. It's been a rough year sort of in Boiler Nation in this regard. And Otis Armstrong and his death this week. You know, it just an outstanding career and a great guy too. I had an opportunity to talk to him a few years ago, just for a brief conversation for a story when he got elected into the College Football Hall of Fame. But just what are your thoughts on the passing of Otis?
Well, I think you're the last guy, at least from our shop, to talk to him, because I had had a relationship with him over the years, really soft spoken, good folk, good people, so to speak. Yeah. A terrific running back. I mean, he was powerful at 5'11", 197 pounds, but he was fast, and he proved it in the NFL. He's the only guy in the history of Purdue football to lead the Big Ten NFL in rushing. You know, you look at Purdue's Mount Rushmore, at least three of the maybe four spots, Mike Allstott, Leroy Keyes, and Otis Armstrong. But Otis Armstrong, arguably the last consensus All-American at Purdue as a running back, and probably the best of the lot, truly, as a true running back. He really, really was spectacular.
Yeah. All right, Al, thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
That's a historical view of Purdue and Wisconsin. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to Golden Black Radio.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel, from Nike sideline gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring Tom back in to talk a little bit of matchups, Boilermakers and the Badgers in Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday afternoon. We'll get predictions as well. Tom, you look at the Badger defense, and it's very good against the pass. Now, I think you have to take that and consider some of the opponents that the Badgers have played. Michigan doesn't throw the ball very much. Army clearly doesn't. Eastern Michigan. So it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, how much of that pass defense is real and how much of it is generated because of who they have played, because Purdue's going to try and throw the ball.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Illinois, Army, Eastern Michigan, fine programs, but none of those six throws the ball like the Boilermakers. And again, it's no secret, Kyle. I think you're going to have to see a formula very similar to last week for the Purdue offense. You know, 375 yards passing, I think 40 attempts for Aiden O'Connell. He may have to throw it 50 times, I think. And test that Badger defense. Let's see if they can defend the pass, like you were alluding to. They haven't seen a wideout like David Bell yet, and you're throwing Milton Wright, and T.J. Sheffield's coming off a career game as well. Payne Durham, Brock Thompson. So, yeah, let's see what the Badger pass defense has, and that'll be key. So, and again, I think probably Purdue's only real chance. They'll be lucky to get 86 yards rushing again, but you got to run just well enough situationally to make the Badgers respect it. And that's where that 3QB system comes in. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see how this Badger defense holds up against this Purdue air attack.
Yeah. So many stories get lost when you beat the number two team in the country and David Bell has 240 yards or whatever it is. I mean, one of the things that gets lost is just how good Aiden O'Connell was. I mean, it was a great performance by Purdue's quarterback. Another one that gets lost is one that you just mentioned. I thought T.J. Sheffield was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, and in the red zone, he gave O'Connell another option. He got open. You know, he turns the ball over once, but that's a weird effort play. So, you know, hard to criticize that, in my opinion. But I thought he was great. And if you get another guy you can throw to who's consistent, man, that will help Purdue's offense, especially down in the red zone.
Yeah, maybe he's the guy that's going to really emerge as the sidekick, if you will, to David Bell. And, great game, career high in catches for him in Iowa City. Works well out of the slot. And you talked about Aiden O'Connell. I just told it up not too long ago for a story. His passing numbers the last two games and 69% completion percentage, over 700 yards. I think three touchdowns, just one pick, I want to say. So off the charts is what I'm trying to make a point of here with O'Connell. Could have beat Minnesota, didn't. They beat with Iowa. So, yeah, he's playing real well. He's obviously going to have a big game here on Alcock because most of these ball games left, I mean, they're probably going to be toss-ups. The game in Columbus, Ohio, will be a very difficult one, but the other ones are going to be tough toss-ups that are going to require great play from him.
Purdue's defense came through big last week, not only holding Iowa to only 7 points, but creating a bunch of turnovers as well, 4 of them. And this is a Badger team that does turn the ball over. You mentioned Graham Mertz, sort of the mystery quarterback and how he has not developed over the last couple of years. He has a tendency to throw to the wrong team, and maybe Purdue can come up again with some pressures up front and some interceptions in the back.
Yeah, I mentioned 7 interceptions from Mertz this year. Badgers are last in America in turnover margin. And that defense came alive in that aspect last week at Iowa. Of course, entering that game, they were last in America with just 2 takeaways, and they get 4 against the Hawkeyes, a couple picks by Cam Allen, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Also, Kyle, 4 sacks for Purdue. And I know they've been getting a lot of pressure this year, and that's disrupted quarterbacks, but it's always good to bring those guys officially to the ground, right? And Purdue did that 4 times. And boy, I mean, everything's got to be just like last week. Iowa and Wisconsin are very similar, offensively in particular. And, again, if Purdue can just get a lead and make Mertz try to throw to beat him, you got to think they have a good chance to feast on him and get some more picks, set up that offense with some short fields.
All right, prediction time. Who you got?
I'm going Boilers, my friend. And it's going to be close. It's going to be closer than last week in Iowa City. I think the Wisconsin defense is actually going to make adjustments if they're getting beat by somebody. It's going to be a fourth quarter game. Last time they were here, I remember it was triple overtime, 44-41. Boilers let them off the hook late. I think the Boilers win late again, but they will win late this time for the first time since 97 in Ross State. I think they win 24-21.
Yeah, I've got similar. I think that the game stays lower scoring. Both defenses are good. Just going to come down to who makes some plays in the red zone. I think Purdue, its ceiling is much higher, in my opinion, than Wisconsin's ceiling offensively. I'll take the Boilermakers in a close one, 20-17 over the Badgers. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. And for Tom Deanhart, Brian Hubert, and Alan Karpik, I'm Daniel Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.